Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters. And I'm checking,
Is it on? I'm glad it wasn't on before because I did something you're not supposed to do on public access.
There we go, there we go.
We're talking about the national elections.
We were, that kind of gets us all going here. I will only sort of say, you know, who's going after Biden? Who's the guy? Who's,
that's what I want to know. I'm glad that the Bernies are fighting the Betas and all those people.
I know.
You know what?
But in the end, you know, I think
Hillary's laughing.
The end result of all of this is that you end up with a bunch of Democratic candidates eating each other alive.
I know.
And doing everything they can to help reelect the guy who shouldn't be reelected.
One of the best people in the world could have been our president.
Absolutely true.
I'm sorry, I'm a little partial.
Absolutely true. Yeah.
Now, you were for her in 2008. I remember.
I was a Hillary Clinton supporter.
But you didn't, I remember you going with your jacket and showing me your button on the walk once.
Right. I mean, what I got to say about this is like, you know, I know people, you know, who have dealt with Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, whatever, who have real reservations. And I respect that. I said, that's cool.
But,
you
know, part of the machine.
But I always said it, you know, honestly, if we had somebody like Hillary Clinton as president, would send such a message to the world.
Oh, my God.
And it would have been just great. So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Hillary.
No, it's a great loss. But anyway, so speaking more locally now.
Oh, yeah, let's go to local politics. I'm so excited about this election year.
I'm not.
I'm being very sarcastic.
All right. Because, you know, right now we've got, as far as we all know locally, I think it's about 20. But you know, it's unsure because I'm including
20?
Some people.
Wait, locally?
All right.
Where
are you getting
20?
Well, all right. So here's what I'll say.
Nine incumbents.
Here's what I'll say to that. So we have nine incumbents. Let's begin with the presumption that all nine of them are going to seek re-election.
Right.
I don't know if that's true. Hmm. I mean, I know of at least a few who have talked more privately about not wanting to run anymore in the past, but they always came back and did it.
Right.
So, but let's start with that nine, okay? Then there's one definite from last time around, which is Adrian Musgrave.
Right.
So that brings us to 10.
Charles Franklin.
There are now at least four brand new candidates.
Right. Oh, brand new. Right.
Yeah. I'll tell you them because there was a new one as of today.
Okay.
All right.
So we got.
So it's Charles Franklin.
Right.
So he entered the race, by my definition is when you fill out the paperwork with the state that allows you to raise money.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
So to me that means I'm doing this. Right.
Yeah.
So Charles Franklin, March 5th. Then there was, and there were some of the candidates that I've got on my list who were candidates 2 years ago who I think would be running again, but I don't know for sure. All right, so then it was a fellow named Yvonne Sabrina Wheeler, who became a new candidate on March 12th. Nicola Williams.
Now she's a known person.
She organized the Caribbean Festival.
Right.
New candidate on March 12th.
Okay.
And then as of today, there's a new candidate named Ben Simon, who lives on Bishop Allen Drive. New candidate as of April 2nd. 2019.
That's today.
That is today.
Wow.
Right? I mean, it's one of my little habits. Before I come here to
Good
go do the show,
you.
I go
yeah.
check the site to Good. See that. I mean, I also am keeping track of the...
And you know who he is.
I wasn't sure, but the name sounded familiar, so I did a little searching. And
so easy to do now.
It is pretty easy to
Even
do.
Even for you.
But the thing is, if you have a name like Ben Simon, that's relatively common name, so
true.
You know, there are probably some Ben Simon who was prime minister of somewhere.
Right,
somewhere.
Could say Ben Simon Cambridge.
Right, well, that's what I do, you know, and then sometimes you have to look a little more.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if somebody's going to be a candidate, there's also a better and even chance that they have spoken at some city council meeting or spoke at a committee meeting on a particular topic. So if you go poking around, you tend to discover what they're about in Cambridge as well. Okay.
Okay. And what did you discover?
Some of these candidates, these new emerging candidates you sort of see have spoken up as part of the bike lobby.
True.
Right? I'm a little unsure about Charles Franklin, really where he's coming from.
Well, he's part of Upgrade Cambridge, so I know he's...
Okay, so that's a tech
Broadway.
Guy. I think he works for Akamai or something like that down Kendall.
Sense. Yeah.
Right? Okay, so that's interesting.
So
that makes him an interesting candidate.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, it wouldn't hurt to have a couple more kind of tech-savvy people to understand some of these issues. You know, but he spoke in favor of the affordable housing overlay, but he offered sort of a variant of his own
What was it?
I don't actually know, but I think he wanted to do things in different zones. But, the thing about new candidates is you can say whatever the hell you want, you know. And one of the things you really want to do if you're a new candidate and you think you're kind of a smart guy, mm-hmm. you like to sort of promote something that you think of as sort of innovative sounding. I mean, mm-hmm. when I was a candidate 20-something years ago, I proposed a different way of thinking about rent control, right? Like a gradated system so that if you had smaller buildings, you would be less faced with the onerous regulations. And mm-hmm. the bigger you got, the more strict the small property owners got. I was trying to accommodate the small property owners. Of course, let me tell you the way this really works, which is that if you suggest a reform, right, then the people who wanted to abolish rent control will hate you. Uh-huh. And if you're a person who wants to simply defend everything that was true of rent control and you suggest a reform, they hate you.
Yeah.
You know? I was being honest. And I did okay, all things considered. But the thing is, it's not easy to propose a middle ground Mm-mm. in a city where, just like the country, people are starting to take sides.
So how soon after that did rent control go on a referendum?
I was a candidate in 1993. Question 9 came in 1994, and it was gone by 1995.
Interesting.
I could say, hey, you should have listened to me.
Yeah. And a few other people.
And honestly, there were some people that I wasn't the only person who suggested modifications. Right. Even in the 1980s, people like Hugh Russell, currently on the planning board, Geneva Malenfant, Karen Swaim, they formed a group called Coalition 85 that actually tried to make some suggestions of better ways to do things. But the thing is, people were taking sides.
They were entrenched, entrenched. And they had their votes.
I'm really a little worried about this city right now because,
we're mimicking kind of the country in a way.
In ways, but the thing is when I look at it and say, well, who are the new candidates that are emerging? So I sort of look around and figure out, and I sort of say, well, I wouldn't necessarily say this about Nicola Williams, right? I think she strikes me as the sort of more of the... a bit more wisdom, acquired wisdom than some of the others. Mm. But some of these other ones here are all sort of hanging with the Our Revolution crowd. Mm. I'm sure they would be 100% gung-ho for instituting things like rent control and various other things.
Yeah.
Of course, that's an issue where if you have a city that's majority renter, politically, I suppose the smart thing to do is vote for me. I'll support rent control.
Then they have to be registered to vote and actually go to vote in our system, which isn't always the case.
Right, but that was always a bit of a problem where even if you had a rent control system that had some pretty serious problems, you could easily marshal all the majority renters of the city to continue to support it, even if it was horribly flawed.
Right.
It is kind of like a tyranny of the majority.
But we could not institute rent control without it going to the state.
No, you cannot. Right. And in fact, one of the things, sort of a side issue right now, is that there are proposals being floated by the by the sort of the Karl Marx wing of the Democratic Party in the state legislature, which wants to reinstitute.
Right.
One proposal for rent controls. Mm-hmm. Which it was phrased more as a rent stabilization, meaning we're going to just say you can't raise rents beyond a certain percentage.
Right.
Well, they kept quoting a law, a recent law that was passed, I think, in Oregon or Washington.
Statewide, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Statewide. But basically it says, well, you can increase no more than about 7% plus inflation.
So it's like 10%.
Right. Honestly, I wouldn't call that a particularly onerous form of rent control.
No, because 10% couldn't be significant.
So people in Massachusetts, in Massachusetts, they were saying like, we should be doing something like that. So then what did they propose? They said you would be allowed to raise your rents either as something like no more than 3% or rate of inflation, which is ever smallest. So in other words, they were not proposing, and they are not proposing, the same system that they did in Oregon, right? They were already trying to make it stricter. Now, if you talked about some sort of stabilization scheme, I would be totally open to that. I mean,
what do you mean by that?
Meaning some sort of limitation on how rapidly you could raise your rents without prescribing your rents. When we had rent control in Cambridge many years ago, The rent control board had to meet and decide what your adjustment would be.
Based on 1967 rents.
Based on 1967 rents. So if you charged very low rent in 1967,
right. You were screwed if you bought that property later.
And then 30 years later, you're now getting kind of old. You could use the income and the security.
Yeah.
But in fact, you basically have kind of an updated version of your 1967 rent, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Those were some of the really severe problems with that kind of system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is a proposed bill. They have not yet released the text of it from Mr. Connolly.
I thought that was the one you were talking about.
No. There's multiple ones being floated there.
Yeah.
And the one that the text has not been released would include things like just cause for evictions and various other things, all with a free local option, meaning any city or town could just adopt them just by a simple majority vote.
Huh.
In a way, though, I mean, there is a sort of role here for constitutional guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do own property, and if you basically sort of say, okay, if the majority of people in the city basically want to institute a system that basically terribly restricts you potentially,
mm-hmm.
right? Just because they happen to have a majority, then that does sort of run into a bit of an issue about constitutional rights begin and end, you know? To be perfectly honest, I was quite pleased when Governor Baker said, that ain't going nowhere. So I'm kind of glad we have him as governor. And again, it's not like I'm opposed. I mean, listen, I'm a person who kept my rents dirt cheap.
Yeah, but that's because you lived in the house and you did that.
Right. So it's not like I'm a person who wants to sort of jack up rents and make a fortune. You know, I think people should stabilize rents, and they shouldn't mm-hmm. scare people out of their places to live,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it is actually, there's one proposal, I think it was on the city council agenda a week ago, that said, well, maybe when new inclusionary units are being built around the city and they're in a particular part of town,
mm-hmm.
and if there's some people who ended up getting displaced from housing because of, you know, bad behavior, that maybe they should be given a preference to be able to relocate into an inclusionary unit relatively close to where they've been living for 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
I heard that, I go, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know? So the thing is, I think that the city...
There's definitely things that could be done. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think existing city programs, I mean, if you were going to be generating some of these inclusionary mm-hmm. units, and there are existing people who are basically kind of getting squeezed out, then I would put them to the front of the line in a heartbeat.
Especially if they've lived in Cambridge.
Especially if they've been here for a while,
yeah.
you know?
Right.
I mean, the notion that somehow you're going to house the nation is an absurdity from day one, you know? So if you've got people sort of saying, but I want to live in Cambridge, you go, well, you know, let's first take care of the people who are being pushed out.
Well, there's a waiting list for public housing here that's like
But that's one of the great lies.
What?
The thing is that many of those same people are on Cambridge's list or on Somerville's list or on Boston's list.
Don't they give preference, though, to Cambridge residents?
They can't really do it in some of them, but they can do it with... There are some provisions for doing that with some... It depends on the project.
But what about the Justice Starts and the Homeowners Rehab? If they're getting funds from the federal government, are subject to that?
I don't know what all the rules are.
Okay.
Right, but I'm just sort of saying as a general principle, I think there is a tremendous logic as economics is playing itself out in a bad way,
mm-hmm.
is to try and take care of the people who are getting harmed by it today.
Of course.
Right? Yes. You know, in the same way I feel like when people get older and if they have limited income, I think priority one is make sure you take care of them right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think there is a prioritization that makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if somebody says, well, you know, I've always wanted to live in Cambridge because I want to play music and whatever.
No.
I'm saying, well, you know... No. Maybe if you had a whole community of folks of a similar mind and you all lived in Medford or if you lived in Quincy, whatever, you'd build a wonderful community and then everybody would be knocking the doors down to live in that. That's right.
They're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess Medford is where they...
That's right. You know, so I don't accept this notion that just because you want to live in one place, that somehow we ought to just
do
it for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually one of the things that I found most irritating at those overlay meetings is people who basically, sort of millennial folks sort of saying, but this is what I want. Give me a house now. I want it now. But that's ABC in a nutshell right there.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So anyway, there's some other interesting things happening around town. Did you went to that meeting or the next meeting on River Street?
Yes, reconstruction. I did. Well, I didn't get there till because we did our show.
That's
was
right.
It that same night.
Yeah.
I got there. Yeah, and then they were finishing a presentation because it was for the public, and they had a lot of displays, and they had a big map. I could see where my house is now on River Street, where my daughter lives, and boy, there were lots of trees. And now I said, when was this taken? Because those trees are gone, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I left when it went to go up to people and talk. But yeah,
but it's a long haul.
Very well attended. There's got to be.
I'm glad for that.
100 people there.
Yeah. I mean, I think some really great things can come out of this River Street reconstruction up to and including Carver and Plaza.
There's one next week. The working group is next week, and the public can go, but you can't.
By the way, I found out that the engineer on that project,
yeah.
I'm not going to name names here, but turns out he grew up in the same town as me. And he
really?
Was there around and he moved here around the same time. And we used to hang out at some of the same places.
So he's probably at the meeting.
So now I have to meet him. I got to go meet him. Yeah.
Well, River Street Working Group is next week
six to eight. I'll look him up. Yeah. Okay. So that'd be great. There are some interesting things that are happening around town. Maybe I actually want to just sort of say something.
Where should we go to? News and events?
Go right there. Okay, and I'm going to pop one here at the very, very top if I can do this right here. All right.
Okay, so where are we looking right here?
For those of you who like history, and certainly if you were listening to us last week, you probably know about
that. Listen to you, not me. I was just listening.
there's a person I've known for many years named Roger Agopian, who's a videographer, and he has created documentaries about the Armenian community, primarily in Watertown. Mm. He has also, by the way, did a video on the Middlesex Canal, too, by the way.
Can we go to the flyer? Is that going to be visible here?
Yeah, you can pop
let's
on the flyer.
That
I
want to
open up here.
Oh, all good. Right? All right.
So this is the Belmont Historical Society's Destination Watertown, the Armenians of Hood Rubber. Hood Rubber Company was in Watertown, was a major employer, and there are people who came, Armenian people came here in the early part of the century and late 19th century, specifically because they had a job to come to, and it was at Hood Rubber Company. So the thing is there's an amazing history about this, and so this coming Sunday, April 7th, up at the Belmont Memorial Library.
They only have one library, right? Or do they have two?
Yeah.
I know
so this
one
is the one
that's
on Concord. This is the one on Concord Avenue.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So anyway, I would just if you have an interest in history. I'm going to try to go to that if
for no
other reason because if Roger's there, I'd like to hang out with Roger's.
Anything else on that list?
Sort of scroll down a little bit. Just sort of walk through a few of these particulars here. Okay. So there's been this foundry, the gift that keeps on taking, that was gifted to the city of Cambridge.
I thought they already appointed that committee. No?
They appointed a committee, but the thing is that there was there's different committees, and I think. Maybe they're simply seeking more people now to replace other people on this foundry advisory committee. So that the deadline for application, if you have an interest in this, and this is, this is sort of a,
There,
it can be many things for many people, but it's something.
Here's a picture of it down here.
Yeah, some of the things about the space right down here. All right. So anyway, so if
you
apply
by Friday, April 26th. Okay.
So actually, let's scroll down a little more here. Mm-hmm. We'll just sort of walk through a few of these particular things. This is a little one here, but if you got a dog, right, and you want to do the vaccination clinic, it's this coming Saturday, April 6th. You can also get a doggy license, which you got to renew every year. And the old ones expired, I believe, on March 31st. So you don't want to be in violation there. Otherwise, that cute little dog is going to get mad at you.
And now we're
Let's just go down here. We'll just sort of touch on these. So
as
some of you already know.
Street cleaning.
Parking on the odd side of the street or your car will be tagged and towed.
Right.
Street cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually began right very close to my house.
Is
the first Monday. I'm the second Tuesday and Wednesday, so I'll have to worry about that next week.
Yeah.
But that's it's underway. I'm sure some of the new residents have gotten their first big shocker.
Yep.
Right? That's coming around here. Yard waste collection has now resumed and will continue all the way through mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who've been saving up your household hazardous waste...
Yeah, I have it in my car.
The household hazardous
It's at the Volpe, well, the over, site of the old, yeah.
Yeah, the,
it's in
yeah.
the parking lot there.
Yeah, it's like it's Monroe Street. You know, so you come in off of 3rd Street, I believe. Anyway, that's also this coming Saturday, yeah, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Are you going by any chance?
I may go to this one here. We have
I might
some,
give you my stuff.
We have, well, let me find out if I'm going. For
find
sure
out if you're going because I have to go to the
yeah.
recycle
Let's go down
too.
A little more here. We'll just touch on a few of these ones
right,
here.
I already
just
did
so
the
you
household
know about this.
Waste service.
Now,
what's
you know,
this?
Craig Kelly and others, they keep talking about different sorts of mobility, whatever. When I think mobility,
one.
I think driving, I think bikes, I think cars. And I think pedestrians and whatever. So, but there's all these sort of new versions.
Yeah, Brookline. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, there was a big scene
already
about
one
a,
accident.
Yeah. Already one accident
it's
on a scooter.
It's not funny. I mean, they go 15 miles an hour.
I know, but this
no
is
helmets.
But in the parking lot, somebody cut her forehead, right?
The point is,
I know.
Like,
listen,
it's ridiculous.
I
you're
actually,
getting on this thing and it goes and you have no
I have seen
control.
Some of these little scooters scooting up Broadway at a real breakneck speed.
And are they going in the bike lane? They're allowed in the bike
they
lane?
They are, well, up to a certain velocity. I think they are absolutely allowed in bike lanes.
They are.
Mopeds
okay.
up to a certain number of cc's in the engine are allowed
really?
In bike lanes
oh,
and
shoot.
Always have
really?
Been.
Mopeds can go faster than 15
Most
miles.
Most certainly
can't
they can, you know. So and Craig Kelly, to his credit, has been pointing out that this singular focus on bike lanes here is completely ignoring the sort of the emerging reality of what's really happening.
Yes.
You know, and in fact, you know, pretty soon, don't be surprised if in fact the bike, the percentage of people using bike for commuting actually starts
goes
to
level
off or even drops in favor of all these other kinds of autonomous vehicles,
drones,
scooters. No. I don't know about drones, right? Maybe that's
so,
what's coming.
So they're going to wait. They're going to start a technical advisory group on the future.
Yeah. So, so to sort of to look into this, and I think it's an interesting topic, and we'll sort of see where it goes. I think
so
right
when,
below this
when,
we have so that's also.
So
I
you
think,
apply to who for that?
I
guess it's all on your.
I think it goes down for go down a little further. It's you got to this one soon.
April 12th.
April
that's a
12th,
week from this
right.
Friday.
Now, if you scroll down just a little bit more here. We have these are the ones that have been existing for a while. So it's the Bicycle, Pedestrian, and Transit Advisory Committees. They are also looking to replenish their membership. I will.
Sorry about
I will.
That.
That's okay. I will state that you know. So that's also due by April 26th. One of the things I'll say about that though is that you know the sad truth is that if you have a point of view that may not be in perfect alignment with some of the city staff. They may not appoint you, but that's another issue.
Okay.
You know, so.
So if you want to find out about it, it is on the city website, but I think it's easier to go to Robert's website, R. Winters.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things the city's doing.
Is it R.W. Winters?
Just rwinters.com.
rwinters.com.
But the thing is that there is a sort of a single place where if you're interested in any city boards and commissions, you just click on a particular link. It's on my website, and it'll take you to the place where it'll actually show you the committees that have vacancies. And then you can apply uniformly that way if you wish.
That's a good thing.
You can still just write a letter, too, by the way. You know, that's, there's nothing against that, right?
Good.
You know, I'm going to make a personal appeal, though, which is that if you have a point of view, which is not necessarily the party line on anything and everything, and you feel that maybe you could play a role of having a sort of a different point of view on any of these committees here.
You should. Do it.
You should do that. You know, don't be dissuaded just by the fact that that everybody's got to align. I mean, honestly, when I was on the recycling advisory committee, when we were on it, I often would speak up for when somebody says we want to implement this because wouldn't this be great? I would say, well, you know, I don't know. Is that really great? How is a person going to feel about these things? You know, you do have an obligation, I think, as a good citizen to represent all the citizens and. And
but
not
even there, sometimes
yourself.
You were shut out because, again, it was an advisory committee.
And that's fine.
I remember
yeah.
for years, Adam Mitchell and myself were saying, we need pay-as-you-throw or some form of that. And
right.
They didn't want to hear that. They wanted to go straight for the compost,
but I think
which
it's,
is okay.
You know,
but
the city, these city boards and commissions work best when, in fact, there's a wide variety of points of view, which are all being heard and not shut out, like Envision Cambridge, where you just get shut out.
Wow.
Right. But so those are some things that are coming up here. So we did talk about the candidates, the new candidates,
a little bit.
You know, I don't know.
There's
that
a lot of hearings. There was one. Oh yeah, yeah. Today.
Maybe we should actually go
tomorrow.
To the calendar at the very end here. Just touch upon these. Right. Though we can actually just sort of say.
Wait, yeah, you can talk for a minute, and I'll find the calendar.
Yeah, so we can sort of say some of these ones right here. Okay. So, you know, as is typical, we have city council meetings definitely coming up. You know,
But here
we
you
just
go.
Had one.
There was one today. There was an ordinance.
There was an ordinance committee. They were talking about accessory. You know,
I think that was televised. I think some of these are televised.
Actually, they're putting in more and more requests to televise.
Which
them
they should be because you can't get to these.
Yeah, I mean, you can almost
assume
that. You
could go to this
that.
If you want. We could talk about them as we see.
Right. So tomorrow afternoon is a one on the taxi cab drivers putting a petition to the council saying, listen, we're getting beat up by Uber and Lyft, you know, what's up, you know? Mm. So they're basically having a hearing to address their petition.
Well, that's going
to that's
be
tomorrow at 1 p.m. I'm sure the cab people will impact the meeting. And
yeah, but no, 1 p.m. I don't think that
it's not
is
the best
televised.
Time,
yeah.
Honestly. It's not the best time.
But it's TNC.
Okay. Right. There's also
5:30. There's another one.
On the ordinance committee on the CART petition. So this is about the Cambridge Heights Galleria, which I think is potentially a very interesting project.
Yes.
And, you know, I think if people have good things to say, Dennis Carlone was involved in the design of that whole gallery years ago. So, honestly, he's exactly the right person we want to have in a position to
How
be sort of talking
about
this.
How does that relate to the courthouse thing, which I heard has
completely
just,
separate.
But I thought the parking issues are similar, no?
The thing is the old Sullivan Courthouse, they wanted to use some of the gallery mall parking as sort of a part of that. But now they're actually using the city garage, which was built to accommodate the courthouse, I might add.
So that's an issue.
So there is, to me, there's a certain natural marriage of that parking lot to the courthouse building, because that's why it was built in the first place.
Yeah.
But now there's a lot of, you know, public, you know, little, very politicized, you know, uprising where they say, well, we shouldn't be giving away a public building for that. But most of these decisions were made. So this
already,
is so late in the game to be raising this issue. You know, it really borders on unfair.
Well, we're getting to the end. There's a lot of other things. You can go to Robert's Cambridge Civic Calendar or just of the candidates have great newsletters.
In a future week, we'll talk a little bit about public financing for municipal elections because the city solicitor had a wonderful...
Yes.
Letter on that. And so anyway, we'll get to that another day. Okay.
And that's another hearing.
Anyway, see you then.
Bye-bye.